Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
It has been one heck of a first couple of games of the 2016 Western Conference first round in the NBA playoffs. The Memphis Grizzlies have certainly been humbled beyond a reasonable doubt. It's pretty clear how this one's going to end. You would hope that they come out and they have a real good showing in Game 3, perhaps even a Game 4 Sunday afternoon against the San Antonio Spurs. But the Memphis Grizzlies simply do not have the horses to compete with the San Antonio Spurs, and it's gotten ugly fast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you may be, however you may be taking in the program. Thank you for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. I'm excited here momentarily to be joined by our guest tonight as a condensed episode of the show. We have one guest on the podcast this week. It is J.R. Wilco, the general manager for SB Nation's San Antonio Spurs blog, Pounding the Rock. And we're going to get into it a pretty good bit with Mr. Wilco, talking a lot about how this series helps San Antonio, hurts them. You could certainly say that maybe outside of Houston, because people just don't really like Houston very much. Outside of the Houston Rockets, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies are probably one of the most painful teams to watch right now simply because they're, you know, not very good. They don't have very many actual NBA players on their roster, if we're being honest with each other. And the San Antonio Spurs are the best San Antonio Spurs team in their history, which is saying a lot when you think about it. And they are one of the top 5 to 10 teams in NBA regular season history. So any question as to how this is going to end, it doesn't necessarily exist. You're being a little bit, maybe naive is not the right word, but overly positive if you think the Memphis Grizzlies have any shot at winning this series. Hopefully they make Game 3 and 4 competitive at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. Ways to get in touch with the program, you can follow us on Twitter at GBBLive. That's a wonderful way to hit us up. If you have a question as you're listening to the show, whether it's live on a Thursday night as we record, here on Blog Talk Radio, or if you're catching the podcast throughout the weekend, maybe as a pre-Game 3 or pre-Game 4 warm-up, maybe in between the two games on Saturday, you're catching up with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. However you're listening, you can hit us up on Twitter at GBBLive. You can interact with us there. You can also follow me and interact with me on Twitter if you have a question, comment, concern, whatever it might be, over at Joe Mullinax. And you can also follow, of course, the blog at large, grizzlybearblues.com, at SBN Grizzlies. And the fascinating thing about the internet is how people can come together and talk about things. And whether it's our show on a smaller scale, or obviously the death of Prince today, certainly a sad, sad bit of news, people kind of rally together. It's a great place to interact and talk and, you know, share feelings. Or, you know, I read an article by Bomani Jones about Prince, pretty powerful stuff. So today's a good day to kind of comment on the power of the internet. And as Memphis Grizzlies fans, a place where we can all gather during our show as we record live is the chat room. If you want to hop into the chat, if you're listening to the live show, that's certainly the best way to get in touch directly. If you're listening live, I run that chat room. Hop into the chat, shoot us a question. If you have a question for myself or Mr. Wilco, happy to interact with you there as well. Again, this is a condensed episode tonight. We'll be talking with Mr. Wilco momentarily, just waiting for him to hop on the line. We are going to also do a giveaway, one of our best giveaways yet, Obviously, Fan Essentials and TickIQ are two tremendous sponsors of our program, but TickIQ has really stepped their game up in terms of a giveaway for Grizzly Bear Blues Live listeners and followers on Twitter, and I'm excited to give away two tickets to Game 4 on Sunday afternoon between the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. Earlier in the day, I tweeted out a tweet, as I've done about a few times now, with a drawing that I do, and if we're going to do it that way again this week. And we're going to draw a number, and the winning Twitter follower is going to be told how to claim their tickets, a little bit different this week. So if you're listening live, remember, you have to listen, and I said this on Twitter a couple of times on the GBB Live account, you have to chime in and do what you're supposed to do after the show in order to claim the tickets. So make sure that you are listening in to GBB Live live tonight. If you entered that drawing, there were several of you that did. Listen live at the end. You hear your name drawn. You'll be given the instructions as to what you are supposed to do, and we will take it from there. So excited about the TickIQ drawing. Make sure you're using them if you're going to be getting tickets to Game 3 or 4 of the Western Conference first-round matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs in FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. Also, make sure you're subscribing to FanEssentials.net. Use the promo code GBBLive to get an even better deal as you subscribe to a tremendous fan gear service that's delivered right to your door for as little as $14.99 a month. Make sure you're subscribing to FanEssentials.net today. Again, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and we're waiting for J.R. Wilco to hop on the line. And these first two games, ladies and gentlemen, pardon my French, but they were pretty damn bad. The Grizzlies led literally for seconds, if that. They were tied for approximately 3 minutes, I believe I read in the commercial appeal. And this is a team who's broken, and that's been talked about ad nauseum, both here and elsewhere. So I'm not going to dilute that. I'm not going to, you know, completely go off on a tangent on that. It just kind of is what it is at this point when it comes to the injuries that this team has suffered. But the players that are on the court right now, and we'll talk more to JR about this here in a moment when he gets on, they're just not playing very well, the Memphis Grizzlies. They're not playing well at all. Zach Randolph is a perfect example. And of course, they are really honing in on him defensively, as well they should. Zach has cooked them in the past. And even when they're healthy, that has kind of been their focus. The idea that we're going to make sure Zach Randolph doesn't beat us, we're going to fight our tails off and close out the paint and not allow Zach to get off in the post, not let him be comfortable, force him to do things that he's not willing to do or not comfortable doing. And that has most certainly worked. He is shooting an abysmal percentage from the field right now in this series. He is an overall, I have the stats in front of me, he is shooting 26.7%. 26.7% from the field. He's attempting 15 shots a game, as well he should, maybe even a little bit more, considering the standard that the offense has set so far. But he's shooting 26.7%. As a matter of fact, the only Grizzly who plays more than 20 minutes a game so far, and again, of course, the nature of the blowouts has allowed for the minutes to kind of go down a little bit, but the only Grizzly shooting better than 30%, who is playing 20 or more minutes a game, the guy who has played the most minutes, there's five guys who have played over 23 minutes in the series. Let me rephrase this. You have Zach Randolph, who's played 29 minutes. You have Xavier Munford, who's played 27 in the two games. Matt Barnes has played 26.5. Jordan Farmar has played 26.1. And Jarrell Martin's played 23. Of those five players, only one of them is shooting over 30% from the field, and that's Jarrell Martin. Jarrell Martin is the only player of those five shooting over 30% from the field. I mean, what do we expect, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think that they're going to find ways to win games when they're shooting that poorly? I certainly wouldn't expect that, and you shouldn't either. They're going to have issues to begin with, but when your offense is that putrid, when your leading shooting percentage-wise, who has played over, 18 minutes a game, is Vince Carter. I mean, Vince Carter is the man right now. Vince Carter is the guy who is scoring the most points for this Grizzlies team. 10 points in 10 points average in two games. That can't be how it works. You can't expect to be competitive in a playoff series if that is the way that your offense is going to run. And, of course, you have to give credit to the Spurs. They are a dominant, dominant defense, the best in the NBA, by a wide margin. And Kawhi Leonard is the reigning, defending, two-time now, Defensive Player of the Year. He's tremendous. He's phenomenal. A tremendously gifted defender. He seems like he's all over the court all at once. It's impressive to watch him play defense. And the Spurs are particularly good at playing on-ball defense to force turnovers for these Grizzlies. Especially in Game 1, there were so many times where the Spurs would play right as the Grizzlies crossed half court and would force turnovers right then and there or within a couple of dribbles from that point because they were so sound in terms of their on-ball defense. So you have to give credit to the Spurs. They are that good. And even if they weren't quite as good, you would imagine they'd still be beating the Grizzlies, maybe not this soundly. But at the end of the day, you have to have NBA players. And the Grizzlies don't have enough NBA players. And the NBA players that they do have are not good enough to compete. They're just not good enough to compete right now because they're all outside of their roles. Zach Randolph should not be the number one player on any team at this point in his career. He just shouldn't be. Zach Randolph should not be the number one guy on any team that he's on if they want to be good. Matt Barnes should not be your second, or Vince Carter, excuse me, should not be your leading scorer in a 2016 playoff series. He's one of the oldest players in the NBA, and he's the leading scorer through two games for the Grizzlies. You're not going to win or compete at anything if that is where you're at. But unfortunately, that's where the Grizzlies are at, and a lot of it's not their fault. We've talked about the injuries over and over and over again. You can't expect them, realistically, to compete in that environment. You just can't do it. You can't do it. And understand something else. Team is not playing out of their minds good. They're really not. They're not playing that well. And they'd probably be the first to tell you that. They could play better. Now, of course, I'm sure part of it is them playing down to their competition. But you expect that to an extent. You expect that. You expect them to play down a little bit because of the fact that they're in a tough spot playing against a terrible basketball team. The Memphis Grizzlies are what, 3-16 in their last 19 games? 3-16 in their last 19 games. That is awful. That is just not very good. That you could argue they wouldn't be able to beat Dallas in a series right now. They wouldn't be able to beat Golden State. They wouldn't be able to beat Utah, a team that was just on the outside looking in. They wouldn't be able to beat any of those teams. Any of them. What a problem for the Grizzlies. And it's also a problem for the Spurs as they prepare for the next round. I mean, most assume, even with Dallas winning Game 2, that it'll be Oklahoma City moving on in that series. And Oklahoma City's going to give them a tough time because of their athleticism, because of the fact they have two of the best five players in the NBA. It's a tough spot for the Spurs to be in. They're not necessarily getting challenged at the moment. They're not experiencing that difficulty of play. That's really hard for them. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax, still waiting for J.R. Wilco. Hopefully he'll be able to join us during this segment as we talk about the Grizzlies and Spurs series going on right now. I mean, going through our outline of what I was going to talk about with J.R., and again, hopefully he joins me. Game one and two thoughts, the Spurs are damn good and the Grizzlies aren't. They're just not that good. The Grizzlies are not a good basketball team. And we were going to tie that into the job that Dave Joerger is doing as a head coach. And when you look at Dave Joerger, you have to feel sorry for him to an extent because he is working, he is doing the chicken salad with chicken insert expletive here. That's what he's doing right now. He's trying to find a way to get this team to piece together some semblance of offense. And he just isn't able to do it because he doesn't have the horses. And that's the ultimate thing in any sport, at any level. Every scheme has won everywhere at some point or another, literally. Every single scheme basketball, football, baseball, philosophies, all these different things up and down. Coaches can swear up and down how important they are. But at the end of the day, it's the players that win the championship. And every single scheme has had success. Every single scheme, every single philosophy. There's no one best way to do it. There's many ways to get the job done. But you have to have players. If you don't have players, they're not going to be able to execute the schemes the way you want them executed. And that's what's happening to Dave Yeager and his staff right now. It's like Matt Barnes said, you're going to a knife fight with spoons. I mean, that was pretty well put. They just don't have the weaponry. They don't have the arsenal right now. And it really does seem like Popovich, if you listen to his quotes and the way that he talks about Yeager and the job that he's doing and the job that the staff is doing, it sounds like Pop really respects Dave. And I get the vibe from other San Antonio fans that they also respect Dave Yeager, as well they should. I mean, he's a talented coach. He has experience in the D-League, which is probably paying off for him right now, kind of piecing together rosters and figuring out who's going to be there when. And, you know, Tony Allen is banged up, and Zach Randolph is being, you know, destroyed by the Spurs because he's the focus of their defense, which is a dominant defense. And when you have so much adversity to face, other coaches, even opposing ones, tend to respect you a little bit more. And I do think that is the case for Dave Yeager. I really do. So Popovich respects him. I respect him more after this job that he's done, even with the 3-16 in the past 19 games. Because you have to respect him. You have to. You have to respect the job that he's doing. It's not perfect. There's things that he's doing that I wish he wouldn't. Jordan Farmar still starting drives me nuts. But as other people have pointed out, like I think maybe Kevin Leip has said, or it might have been Matt Ardlicka of our own blog, GrizzlyBearBlues.com, you take a look at Farmar, and if he's not playing minutes as a starter, he's playing minutes off the bench. So he's still going to play. That's not the question. So you're not going to sit him, and you're not going to sit Chris Anderson, who's also played poorly. What are you supposed to do? You're in between a rock and a hard place. And thankfully, Tom Thibodeau and the Minnesota Timberwolves have kind of solved the problem for the Grizzlies. There is no real possibility now with Thibodeau being the new head coach and president of basketball operations in Minnesota. Dave Yeager, not going to Minnesota. Those rumors can finally fade away. And Dave Yeager will be under contract with the Memphis Grizzlies, and he'll probably get an extension. Excuse me. And he should get an extension. He absolutely should, 100%. Why wouldn't he get an extension? Who are you going to hire that's better? He's a top 10 coach in the NBA. Who are you going to bring in that's better than Dave Yeager? At the cost that it's going to cost to keep a guy like Dave Yeager. I mean, for goodness sake, Scotty Brooks just got a 5-year, $35 million contract from the Washington Wizards. That's insane. That's not to say Scotty Brooks is a bad coach. I don't think he's particularly good. I certainly don't think he's better than Dave Yeager. But Scotty Brooks is getting $7 million over 5 years? $7 million per? That if Dave Yeager signs for that, you're happy. And you make that deal tomorrow, in my opinion. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Again, it looks like something, hopefully everything's all right with J.R. Wilco. Probably won't be able to join us this evening. Hopefully he'll be able to come on a little bit later. If not, that's okay. We can power on through this condensed version of the podcast, talking about the Grizzlies and Spurs series, and also talking about, we just finished up, kind of talking about Dave Yeager and whether or not we would let him leave. If I was running the Grizzlies, there's no chance in hell Dave Yeager is leaving. I'm signing him to an extension. If he's cool with the Scotty Brooks money, I would be paying him Scotty Brooks money. I'm not sure you can name, and if you're listening live to the show, interact with me, please, on Twitter or something like that. Can you name 10 coaches better than Dave Yeager? Popovich, obviously. I'd say Brad Stevens. I'd say Carlisle. That's three. I think you can say now that Thibodeau is back, maybe Thibodeau. Frank Vogel, maybe, in Indiana. I mean, how many guys? Steve Kerr, of course, Golden State. I wouldn't say Tyronn Lue is better than Dave Yeager. Dwayne Casey, maybe. I think they're kind of on the same tier. To me, there's 10 guys. You know, I'm not saying Dave Yeager is number 4 on that list. 8, 9, 10. I'm not sure there's 10 actual coaches I would take in front of Dave Yeager. I would sure as hell take him in front of Scotty Brooks. And if Scotty Brooks is making that money, I mean, sometimes you got to pay the piper, man. Robert Ferrer might have to open up the checkbook. Every week, I ask a Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day on our Twitter account, and this week I got some pretty good responses to the question, and it kind of ties into what we were going to talk about next with JR. It's the idea of, or a question of, what would you look at in terms of changing the starting lineup? Because there's some players who have actually done some decent things in terms of their play. It hasn't been all negativity. It hasn't been all bad. There's some young guys especially who have had some young energy, and they've done some good things. Now, the advanced numbers don't necessarily back that up, unfortunately, and the shooting numbers don't back that up either. You've got guys like, you know, a Lance Stevenson who's playing about as well as you would expect him to. Excuse me. You have guys like Jamichael Green who are, you know, maybe playing about the way you would expect them to. But again, you've got younger players who you could put into this puzzle and kind of see how they play. It'd be interesting to see how some of these guys would do in a starting role. So I pose the question, who would you like to see in the starting lineup that's currently a healthy Memphis Grizzlies bench player? Got some good responses. First off, from Little C at CN Reber, R-E-B-E-R. He said J-Mart, Jarrell Martin, and Xavier Munford need some young energy to start off the game. Jarrell Martin from Memphis Land at Yosik94. Jamichael Green from Paul Squires at Paul Squires62. Lance from Perso Nick Clark, hashtag born ready. That's who he'd like to see. Jamichael Green is a small ball five from West George at D Westlake G. Been a guest of this show a couple of times. Thanks for chiming in, Wes. Would get torched by Duncan or Aldridge, but would like to give him or get him experience in that role, that small ball five for Jamichael. Thanks to those of you that chimed in. And I think I'm leaning towards replacing Birdman with Jamichael as well, or Jarrell, one of the two. And the Jordan Farmar argument, to me, I understand it. He's clearly not good, but at the same time, he's going to get minutes either off the bench or with the starters. You have more bigs. You have guys like a Jarrell Martin, like a Jamichael Green. Those guys who can consistently get that time, and maybe between those two and Zach Randolph, you know, between those three positions, maybe you get them each, you know, 30 to 35 minutes, and you can get Birdman maybe 15 or so, and you can even it out. To me, I would get either Jamichael Green or Jarrell Martin in at the five. I think that's a good idea. And especially Jamichael, and Wes mentions this, and he's right. Jamichael might get eaten alive at first in the post, especially by a LaMarcus Aldridge or a Tim Duncan, you know, guys who know how to use their size and their length to kind of take advantage of a smaller player like a Jamichael, in terms of, you know, actual build. But at the same time, that's good experience for them. And Jamichael Green could be very good in that role, especially if he develops a three-point shot, if Memphis can piece together a roster where they have, you know, four or five guys on the floor who can threaten from range. That would be very beneficial, and that would be a nice wrinkle to see in this team moving forward. So I think I agree with that. I would like to see Jamichael Green or Jarrell Martin at this point, but particularly Jamichael be in that starting group. Particularly at the five, be that small ball five. I think that's a good idea. And Jarrell Martin has been the most impressive to me. I don't know about you guys, but I have been impressed with Jarrell Martin. And his footwork is better than I thought it would be. He's more athletic than I thought he was. He's more prepared defensively with his body positioning than I thought he would be. He's very good in the pick and roll. Again, against the Spurs, you're going to get baked or cooked a couple of times. But even in the games leading up to the playoffs, I was really impressed with his footwork defensively. He was not bad hedging off of those ball screens. He was not bad helping on the pick and roll and helping the helper in other situations. He was better defensively than I anticipated him being. And that's big for Memphis, of course, because the defense, hopefully Marcus All comes back healthy, Mike Conley and all those guys. When this team comes back, it has to be a renewed focus on defense. And Jarrell Martin, if he has any hope of getting any minutes moving forward, it's going to have to be built around the defensive side of the ball. So I am interested in what Jarrell Martin is able to do. I have been most impressed with him so far, and I'm curious as to what he is going to be able to do in the future and what kind of opportunities he's going to be given moving forward. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live here. I am Joe Mullinax, your host, our guest for this evening. Hopefully he's all right. J.R. Wilco not able to join us, it would appear, as we continue on with the show. We're taking a look at the Grizzly-Spurs series, just talked about how Jarrell Martin is a Grizzly that I would like to see get even more opportunity, perhaps even as a starter, or Jamichael Green. Birdman's just not doing it for me. and, you know, get those younger guys some experience. Chris Anderson's not going to be on this team next year unless they sign him to a veteran minimum contract, and he's a end of the bench big because he loves Memphis and Memphis loves him. He could be the new Hamed Haddadi, perhaps. But he's not a guy that you're going to pay a ton of money to, and these other young bigs, you'd imagine, are a part of their future. So I would look into getting them some more run, especially with those starters. Looking at the playoffs at large, especially in the Western Conference, it's kind of fascinating when you look at how things are lining up, especially in the Western Conference. It's kind of ugly. It's not the best situation in terms of competitive games. You're looking at, obviously, the Grizzlies getting smoked by San Antonio, the Rockets getting obliterated by the Golden State Warriors. Oklahoma City and Dallas are currently in Game 3 of their series, playing tonight in Dallas. Thunder have a 10-point lead in the second quarter, so that they're looking good. It's just not a very competitive playoff run right now, at least out west. Now, you can make an argument for, you know, Clippers-Blazers, maybe. But even then, the Clippers beat the Blazers by 20 the night before. I mean, the Clippers lead that series 2-0. It's a lot of 2-0s, except for the Oklahoma City-Dallas series. Golden State's going to win that series. Oklahoma City's going to win that – or, excuse me, San Antonio's going to win that series. And I think the Clippers, if they can find a way to pick one off in Portland, they're going to win that series in 5, maybe. So it's really not that competitive. I thought the Clippers and – Trailblazers would be more competitive, but I'm guessing, you know, again, Blake Griffin coming back, Clippers perhaps a better team than I gave them credit for, but there's just not a ton of competition. And if I'm looking ahead, if I'm the San Antonio Spurs, and I'm assuming that this playoff series is over Sunday afternoon, let's all just assume that's the case, okay, because that's probably what's going to happen. I think they'll give their best shot in Game 3. I think Game 3 will be the most competitive of the series. I just think San Antonio is better than the Memphis Grizzlies. They just are, guys. It's not that complicated. There's not a ton of analysis that you have to do on this. There's not a ton of breaking down and breaking through of the film. Your eyes and the numbers can tell you that the Memphis Grizzlies just aren't that good. There's reasons for that. We've already gone over those reasons multiple times. We don't have to rehash them, but they're just not good right now, folks. The lineup that has played the most time together in the 2 minute or the two games so far, the starting lineup of Anderson, Barnes, Carter, Farmar, and Randolph, they have a net rating of negative 41. Negative 41. They have an offensive rating of 60.8, which is atrocious, and a defensive rating of 101.8, which isn't god-awful. But you can't score. If you can't score, you can't win. It's that simple. If you can't score, you can't win. Let's assume the series is over. Are the Spurs ready to play the Thunder? I think they'll get a little bit of rest because obviously the Thunder series have to go at least 5. So they'll get a couple extra days off. I think they'll rest up a little bit, watch a little extra tape. But that athleticism is going to be a problem. And the Warriors are going to run roughshod over the Los Angeles Clippers. And again, I acknowledge I am very biased towards the Clippers. If the Grizzlies had gotten the Clippers in that 4-5 matchup, it might well be 2-0 right now. I would have a hard time believing that because I'm irrational when it comes to the Clippers. I just think the Grizzlies have a mental thing with them, and that's a little bit different, just like they have a mental thing with the Spurs in the opposite direction. But I think the Warriors will beat up on the Clippers pretty good, and that Thunder-Spurs series, if the Spurs do close it out this weekend, which most people think they will, that'll be interesting. Can the Spurs, with Kawhi Leonard, with LaMarcus Aldridge now, can they counteract the KD-Westbrook matchup? Can they find a way to slow down their offensive juggernaut and their offensive power? That's really interesting for me to watch, and that's interesting for me to see kind of play out. We have on the line right now, he has gotten into the show, Mr. J.R. Wilco, the general manager of the Pounding the Rock blog for the San Antonio Spurs on SB Nation. J.R., how are you doing this evening?
I'm well. My apologies for my lateness.
It's quite all right. It happens. I understand. Life happens, my friend. It's not a big deal. we were just talking about, or I was just talking about, the Western Conference at large. Because I think it's fair to say, JR, the Memphis Grizzlies they're not going to win this series. And it's more likely than not going to be, it's going to be that the San Antonio Spurs are going to win Sunday afternoon in Game 4. I personally think the Grizzlies will give their best shot in Game 3. It'll be competitive for more of the game But the Spurs will probably still win by double digits, and then Sunday will be a foregone conclusion, and it will just kind of go where it goes. If you look at the Western Conference, who kind of intimidates you moving forward? I was just kind of talking about how that Thunder series is potentially scary because the Spurs in the past have had issues with athletes, and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are two of the best in the NBA.
You're right. The Thunder have given the Spurs quite a bit of difficulty in the past. Before that, interestingly enough, the Spurs owned them. They had eight or nine in a row that they had taken from the Thunder leading into that series in 2012 when the Spurs were riding that 20-game win streak and took the first two games of that series to wind up getting backdoor swept as the Thunder took four in a row. Then the Thunder owned the heavy hand, and the Spurs labored under a similar streak where the Thunder won like eight or nine in a row. Now the Spurs have not just Danny Green but Kawhi Leonard as well, a couple of wings that can really, if they can't contain, then they can at least make Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant work for theirs. So I'm at a point right now where about half of my staff, I think, goes either way on the Thunder, whether they think that they're a problem or whether they think it's something that the Spurs fans can feel fairly secure about. Myself, the Thunder really don't scare me that much this season, and that was before they had their issues closing games late. When you give up that many leads in the fourth quarter in a single season, that kind of thing weighs on you, and you start to get tight in those situations. And that is the last time in the world that you want to be thinking about that kind of thing, the playoffs in a tight game and doubting yourself. Teams seem to know the Thunder are going to do, and it's just those two guys. And it's just those two guys with all of the clutch genes on that team. Nobody else has been able to step up and really own those situations. And just like you saw in game two against the Mavericks, it comes back to bite them regularly.
We're talking with J.R. Wilco, the general manager of Pounding the Rock, SB Nation San Antonio Spurs blog, one of the best that SB Nation has to offer. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jolly Roger Wilco. And we were talking before you came on about the overall perspective of this series between the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. And I am interested in the Spurs' perspective because watching the games, and I've interacted with the Pounding the Rock Twitter account a little bit over at the Grizzly Bear Blues account, it's really difficult to see a team that you support, a team that you follow closely, a team that you've seen have success in the past, tremendous amounts of success, maybe not the ultimate success as NBA defines it, but a lot of success, especially comparatively speaking to the fact that outside of Zach Randolph, who is debatable for a lot of people, there is no Hall of Famer on this team. The San Antonio Spurs have four Hall of Famers: Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Greg Popovich as their head coach. The Golden State Warriors, if they continue on their current track, have four Hall of Famers, maybe five, depending on how you look at Andre Iguodala. You know, the Los Angeles Clippers mm-hmm. have two or three if you include Doc Rivers. The Grizzlies have been the exception. And it's hard to look at that and see how broken it's become, mostly because of health, but they were underachieving before that, JR. So my question to you is, as a Spurs follower, as someone who clearly knows the Grizzlies as well as any opposing team blogger would, because of the relationship in the playoffs and in the division, what is it like for you to watch this incarnation of the Memphis Grizzlies? Because it's really hard for fans to get behind them at times because there's just so many new faces.
Well, first, I have the utmost respect for the organization and the team. The last time the Spurs and Grizzlies met in the playoffs, it was a sweep, but that was the most hard-fought sweep I've ever been a part of as a fan or just a general NBA watcher. Two games in overtime, every single game, if it wasn't down to the wire, it was hard-fought. And Memphis just knows how to maximize their talent, and they've been doing that for years. And I think the organization is just top notch. I love the Grizzlies and what they do, and that even goes down to this series as well. There's not another team that, this has been a season of a lot of historical aberrations. You've got the Warriors doing crazy things, breaking the Chicago Bulls record. You've got the Spurs that would be with 67 wins. Very few years do you have a team win that many games. They tied the best record, home record in the NBA history. Just amazing things that are happening. And the Grizzlies have been historic in their own way, just with the amazing amount of injuries. And to be able to hold it together and keep a playoff spot and to fight as hard as they do is really impressive. And that's the main impression that I have of the team is that these guys aren't rolling over. You can see them at the end of the game. They are obviously upset at the way things are going, but none of them have stopped playing. They just keep on working and keep on and grit and grind, right? I mean, they may not be able to play the kind of defense at the level that they have, but they're still making the Spurs average 14 turnovers a game. There are no moral victories, but there are a lot of things that they're doing to push the Spurs to play the way that they are, and hats off to them.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monix. I'm joined by J.R. Wilco, Pounding the Rock's general manager. Pounding the Rock is the SB Nation blog for the San Antonio Spurs. Give him a follow on Twitter, especially through the rest of the series, which is probably going to be through the weekend, at Jolly Roger Wilco. And that respect that you mentioned, JR, it carries over to the head coach for me, because Dave Joerger and his staff has been just tremendous in this season and this series. The fact that 28 guys have played for the Memphis Grizzlies this season or signed contracts and played, and they made the playoffs, like you said, that's historic. That's never been done in the NBA. And to me, that is a testament to Dave Joerger and his staff. Now, before Tom Thibodeau came through and blew up the rumor, Dave Joerger was a rumored name for that job. And it was a guy that, we would throw out ideas on Twitter. Well, if they trade a first-round pick for him, sure, I'll help him pack. And, we just didn't see him being fired. He has 1 year left that's guaranteed on his contract. A lot of it, and we talked about this on the show last week with Jeff Calkins, a local sports columnist, it felt a lot like an agent for a coach kind of strong-arming, similar to when Mike Conley comes out in an article. It sounds like an agent trying to play hardball a little bit. And the validity of it doesn't feel that strong. Greg Popovich, who is famous at this point, or infamous perhaps, for his lack of information or his annoyance with media or unwillingness to give any real emotion at times about any answer to a question, he seems to respect Dave Joerger a good bit. And to me, that carries a lot of weight, because Greg Popovich, in my opinion, is one of the best basketball coaches in the history of the NBA. So with the respect that Pop has, I do think that the Spurs respect Dave Joerger as a whole. Do you respect Dave Joerger, and would you let him leave Memphis if you were running the Grizzlies?
So first, with the understanding that I have not been following your team all season long. I've got a buddy who does. Kevin Life of the Memphis Flyer, and he and I chat throughout the season, and he's so upset that that Martin hasn't gotten more run up to this point, and just the fact that it takes this many injuries to let a rookie actually get in there and get a little time and get his feet wet, right? And so that said, everything I said previously about the respect, that is a huge testament to the job that Joerger's done with this club. There's no way that this team plays as hard as it does with as many guys who weren't with the team until this season, with the complete distraction that all those injuries are, with as discouraging as it is to play for a team when you realize we're in a situation now where these players right here did not earn their playoff spot, obviously. That this roster is currently constructed would be a lottery team. And yet they're in the playoffs getting their butts kicked, and they keep on working. Everything that I said in answer to your previous question, all of that goes as positives in Jaeger's column, because there's only one way to get guys to play like that, and that's for them to believe in their coach. And that's them to buy in and to buy into the culture that coach is developing in the locker room, in the practice, on the team charter, on the team bus. That's a huge credit to him. And there's no other way to say it except that it says paragraphs. It says sentences in books and libraries about Jaeger's job. Now, there's more to being a coach than being able to get guys to buy into your system. You also need to have a good system. And your system is only as good as your assistant coaches and the team that you build around you to be able to coach the team. It takes a village to raise a kid, but it takes an entire front office to run a squad. And that's what I can't speak to. That's the kind of thing that day in, day out, Memphis Grizzly fans probably tear their hair out about. But at the same time, I think that a guy that's able to get – how about this? This is the way I'll answer this question. There's no way you judge a coach on a season like this, especially when his contract isn't up. You got to give a guy like this who's able to get NBA players, millionaires, to play hard for him, you got to give him a little more shot, more of a shot. And the reason I would say that from, you know, speaking from the outside, of course, is that when you have a team that plays hard every single night, they're going to beat teams with as much or sometimes even more talent 9 times out of 10. And that's because it's not just a talent league, it's an effort league as well. And you need both of those. If you have the talent, and Memphis obviously does, that this roster, if you're able to keep Conley with Gasol and Randolph and add, I don't know, they do allow Memphis to sign 3-point shooters, right? Anyway, you add an outside shooter or two.
They say that it's really hard for them, but apparently everybody else can do it except for Memphis. So it's really hard to figure out.
Well, if you're able to get a little outside shooting, this is still a very dangerous club, and I'd love to see what Jaeger's able to do if you guys are able to stay healthy next year.
Well, Vince Carter has not been, except for the past couple of games, surprisingly, Vince Carter has not been, you know, it's a historically great example of a team like Dallas getting out at the right time, because Vince has not been what he was in Dallas 2 years ago. And he was a guy who was supposed to bring some of that three-point shooting. They've swung and missed on some of these guys that they've signed. Of course, Mario Chalmers, the guy that they traded for, gets injured. So it's kind of been a perfect storm of a cluster, so to speak. But you're exactly right. They need to continue to make that a priority if they have any hope to compete with the San Antonios and the Golden States, because they've done that before. They have competed with those teams in the past with this core. They just have to put the right pieces around them. And like you said, it's impossible to judge off of this season because the pieces that are around them are Chris Anderson and Jordan Farmar. We continue to talk with J.R. Wilco, Pounding the Rock's general manager. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at J.R. Wilco. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Are there any Grizzlies players in particular that have impressed you? And it's okay to say no, JR. If there's nobody who really jumped out at you and said, you know what, actually, he's good. You mentioned Jarrell Martin before, and I mentioned him as the guy that impressed me.
And you've been, say that again?
Jarrell Martin would be my guy, who I think has really been impressive in the series so far. At least defensively, he's shown some flashes, and he showed those flashes before the series. So is it Jarrell Martin or somebody else that has really impressed you as a player for the Grizzlies, despite the fact that it's
been
2 blowouts?
Right. The difficult thing at this point is looking up and down, and my eyes are drawn there. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's very difficult for me to not look at the plus-minus column, and it's just not fair in the series. I think it's obvious that there's just really no sense to it. But it's going to sound weird because his stats in this series have been nowhere near good. I mean, 2 for 9 and 3 for 10 are his shot for his field goal, right? And I just like Munford though. I don't know what it is about him exactly, but the spots that he picks and when he scores, the way he scores and the way he's able to fit into the gaps in the Spurs defense. Whenever Munford scores, I'm always like, man, it's that guy again. And then I look at the box score. He's 2 for 9. He's 3 for 10.
Right.
I'm like, why? But he catches my eye, and it's not just his scoring. Actually, it's floor game. And so in addition to Martin, and in addition to PJ Hairston, you know, who's had his own Spurs connection. Those are the three main guys that I find myself kind of looking out of the corner of my eye, going, man, we need to watch out for him. And then of course I look at the score, and then I relax and have another cream soda. So
there you go. You guys don't have a ton to worry about. Munford is a good example, and you're right. He's not. Nobody is playing well against the Spurs. It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
You have to kind of grade on a curve with these Grizzlies. And Munford,
yep.
I would like to see what Munford could do with a second unit that is healthy. You know, if Lance Stephenson is brought back somehow, you know, maybe alongside a good bench player. Obviously, Brandon Wright hopefully comes back. There's guys that could maybe help him fit a little bit better. He's being asked
mm-hmm.
to do more than he's capable of, just like the rest of this roster is at this point. And it's just an ugly mess. And it all kind of ties in to my last question for you tonight, JR. And it's
right.
a pretty simple one, I think. This series is over by Sunday, right? Sweep, Spurs in 4.
I hate making predictions. I really do. But I've got a buddy of mine who ran Pounding the Rock before I did. And he knows that one of the things that I like to look at in the games is – especially in the blowout games, is did the Spurs win every quarter? And it's just one of those weird, stupid things that's in the box score that I care about for no good reason at all. And the Spurs, I'm probably aware of, have won every quarter
yes,
so far, all 8. And the conversation devolved into whether Memphis would win a quarter. That's what we were talking about. We didn't talk about whether they would win game 3 or whether they would win game 4, but whether the Spurs would actually win all 16 quarters of a 4-game sweep. And when that's your conversation, then it's absolutely, this is the way I put it, it's within the realm of possible events for the Grizzlies to take a game from the Spurs. But it would be pretty shocking. And I don't expect it. So is your season over on Sunday? In all likelihood, yes. But that's why we play the game. I mean, it's you know, people shock the world, so it's possible.
That's why they roll the ball out on the court. Now, I will say this,
yep.
and here's my bold prediction, JR.
Oh, I'm
the
ready.
16 quarter thing, which is while that is certainly very possible, even probable at this point. I have a hard time believing the Spurs go into the FedEx Forum and even with this broken Grizzlies team win 8 straight quarters. Is it probable,
yeah.
maybe? Yes, and I'm acknowledging that. But the emotional fan part of me, I have a real hard time seeing that happen. So that is my very bold prediction, that they will actually win 1 quarter, which just kind of further confirms how sad the season
is. If anybody's on their way to Vegas – To make prop bets, here's my stone cold lock. Is that what they do? Do they make stone cold locks?
Cold
I don't know. I don't
lock.
Bet at all.
I don't know if that's trademarked
there you
or
go.
Not. But if it is, hopefully they're not listening.
I will tell you guys that as a Spurs fan that follows this team and watches, I watched 81 games this year. The very last game of the season I missed. It was such a disappointment. For me, didn't make it onto the DVR. But if you're going to be betting, I would say quarter 1 of game 3. That's where I expect Memphis to not just have their best shot, but have that was that's where I put my money. And if you're not going to put it there, then I'd put it in in the quarter four of game three or quarter four of game four. Those are, I think, probably the most at-risk quarters for the Spurs, not taking all 16. But even the fact that we're bringing this up is a testament to how historically odd this matchup is and how just racked you guys have been by injuries. But I have, if you're out of questions, I've got actually one for you, if you don't mind my asking.
Please go for it.
Can you explain to me Lance Stephenson 9 minutes? I'm blown away. I'm dumbfounded. I need some kind of information here, because I keep on staring at this number and it makes no sense to me at all. Did he insult Jaeger's wife or something? I'm at a loss.
Lance is a little bit, and I saw this term from somewhere. I think it might have actually been from the Chris Vernon show, very popular radio host in Memphis, who we've had on the podcast.
Okay.
He and his producer, John Roser. And I think it's connected. The term is from Josh Pastner, who is now the head coach at Georgia Tech. He was the head coach of the University of Memphis. Lance can be a little bit loosey-goosey. He can be a little bit loose with the ball, loose with a defensive, defensive rotation. He can have a lot of live ball turnovers that can create other problems. And as we saw, especially in game one, the Spurs are pretty damn good at creating live ball turnovers. So it could be a concern in terms of giving the ball up. I think that seeing that 9 minutes tells you that Dave Jaeger doesn't trust him, especially offensively, to protect the basketball. And in a series like this, their possessions are so valuable. And when you can't score the ball, you can't give up possessions either. And I think that is kind of a fear with Lance. Is that always fair? Probably not. But I do think that's probably not. Go ahead.
I'm going to say it's not. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you here on your own podcast. I'm going to say it's not fair. He had no turnovers in the second game. He had one turnover in how many minutes was it? In 29 minutes in game one. So loosey-goosey as you want, the guy does – try. He plays hard, right, on both sides of the ball. Am I missing anything here?
All I can tell you is from times that he didn't play, he was a did-not-play coach's decision in the game that they won against the Chicago Bulls, and this was a conversation that was had, and the general consensus was the turnovers were a concern. But outside of that, I don't necessarily disagree with you. And you're right. In this series, that hasn't been the problem. Zach Randolph has had the most Matt Barnes has actually had the most turnovers of anybody in the series so far, at least average per game. Before we get you out of here, JR, I know you want to talk about briefly your podcast, and I want you to say the title of it. I researched it. I listened a little bit today, and the title is phenomenal. So if you would explain the title of the podcast that you've launched at Pounding the Rock.
Oh, sure. So my readers have been on me forever to start podcasting, and I kept on saying I need to have a good reason. I'm not just going to do it to do it. And so I found my one happy thought. I mean, I found my my reason there to get it started on the personal note. And so we launched it last week. It's the Superfluous Poppycock Podcast. And the whole point of it is that earlier in the season, Greg Popovich, who you're right, there's a lot of times when he doesn't say anything at all to the media, but when he does, man, he can uncork some. And earlier in the season, he was in a media scrum. The guys were talking to him and asking him what he thought about advanced statistics and whether the Spurs paid attention to him, whether they used him. And Pop, in his way, he said, well, a lot of them, bring a lot to the – some advanced statistics bring a lot of insight. And some of them are just superfluous poppycock. And a couple of just fantastic words that really unpack to nothing more than – unnecessary foolishness. And I thought, man, that's a perfect name. We got to do something with that. So when I decided to start podcasting, there was nothing else that I wanted to call it besides the Superfluous Poppycock Podcast. And me and a buddy of mine, Seth Warren, who used to write for PTR now and again, and he got married and has a couple of kids now, and he's too busy. So, he's got enough time to talk to me on the phone once a week. Sometimes twice a week, but we podcast we record the podcast every Wednesday. We put it up on Thursday, Friday if we can't. And at that point, and so one of the things that we talked about in the podcast that we posted earlier today was Matt Barnes's fantastic quote that he had. Have you guys talked about this much? Are you enjoying this as much as we are?
The knife fight with spoons, I'm guessing you're referencing?
Spoons to a gunfight.
Oh, gunfight, excuse me. Gunfight, yeah.
Spoons, we're bringing spoons to a gunfight. And I got to tell you, that's probably going to wind up being a weekly recurring segment of the podcast is not just the poppycock, because we call poppycock on stuff whenever we don't like it, but whenever we like something or whenever someone is completely outgunned, I think we're going to have to talk about spoons to a gunfight, because that's just a fantastic turn of phrase. And never been much of a Matt Barnes fan, but he's A-OK in my book this week for sure.
Well, he's exactly right about that sentiment as well. It's going to be interesting to see how the games go this weekend. J.R. Wilco of Pounding the Rock, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back in the future.
You bet. Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right, not a problem. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was J.R. Wilco of Pounding the Rock, SB Nation San Antonio Spurs blog. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jolly Roger Wilco. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Next week will more than likely be our end-of-the-season show. Make sure you're tuning in. We'll be recording on Thursday night again. We'll get back into the podcasting groove. We'll take a little bit of break after next week's show if this is the end of the season. And we will talk about the NBA Finals and free agency and the trades ahead after we take a little bit of a break. If the Grizzlies somehow stay alive and pull off the miracle of miracles, we'll be back next week to keep breaking down the series. But, again, most folks are assuming the season ends Sunday, so Thursday of next week will be our season-ending show. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter, at GBBLive, and make sure you're going to FanEssentials.net and TickIQ.com, our two great sponsors. And speaking of TickIQ.com, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for our drawing. This is the drawing for Game 4 tickets. You'll get you and a guest into Game 4 of the Grizzlies and Spurs series. Here is what you need to do. I'm about to announce the winner. This winner needs to direct message us at GBB Live within the next, we'll say few hours. You were told to listen live here at the end. So direct message us as soon as you can, as soon as you hear that you are the winner. Shoot us a direct message, and we will give you the details on how you will get your tickets to Game 4, Grizzlies and Spurs, on Sunday afternoon. So without further ado, let's do this drawing. The winner is Darren Koch. Or Darren Koch, Darren Koch, at Darren Koch, D-A-R-O-N-K-O-C-H. You are the winner of the two tickets to Grizzly Spurs Game 4 Sunday afternoon. Make sure you're shooting us a direct message right now so that you can get information on how to claim your prize. Once again, Darren Koch, congratulations. You are the winner. And thanks to everybody who follows us on Twitter, at GBB Live. And thank you for participating in the drawing. We will continue to do drawings like that throughout the rest of our show, as long as TickIQ and Fan Essentials are sponsors, and we hope that they will stay sponsors for a long time. Thank you all for listening. It is much appreciated. I wish I had more good news to share with the Memphis Grizzlies. The best news at this point in the season might be it'll all be over soon. Thanks to J.R. Wilco for joining me. Thanks to you for listening. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.